Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome to Power in the Word. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons coming to you from New Creation Christian Ministries all the way in Elizabeth, New Jersey. And it is a pleasure and an honor to be able to come to you with Power in the Word. Amen. Power in the Word. And we do know that there is power in God's Word. And, you know, it's just amazing how sometimes we get off track and we forget the power that is available to us in the Word of God. And I want to remind you today to not forget about the weapon that the Lord has given you. He's given you His Word. And with His Word, you can go places and you can do things beyond your scope and beyond your imagination, beyond your wildest imagination. Dare to dream in Christ. Amen. Amen. And praise God. I'm so glad that you joined us today. We are so glad that you have joined us today. As you know, Pastor Anthony is my co-host on Tuesdays, and we have an exciting broadcast for you today. I have some things on my heart that are going on in the news, in the world, in the church, and I am certain that my husband has some things on his heart. So just buckle your seatbelt, call somebody, tell somebody that Power in the Word is on, that Pastor Anthony and Pastor Rebecca are back, that we're here and we have something to say, and we believe that the Lord is going to bless you. Tell somebody to tune in to blogtalkradio.com/power so that they too can be blessed. The chat room is open. The phone lines will be open later on because we want to talk to you, so you will be able to call in later. The phone number is 646-652-4832, so write that down because we will be opening up the phone lines. And even if we don't get a chance to before you want to call in, you can just go ahead and call in if you have something burning on your heart that you want to share. We like to open in prayer, so let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you. You are worthy, God. You are so worthy to be praised. There's none like you, Lord, and we magnify your name today. God, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for who you are and for what you have already done in our lives. We recognize that it is not by might, not by power, but by your spirit that we have the victory in our lives and that we're able to effect change on this earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord, right now, Father God, gird our minds, our hearts, our souls, open up our hearts so that we can receive what you have for us. And Lord, let us go from this place, each and every one of us, better than what we came in. Lord, make change happen in our lives. Lord, some of us are sick and tired of being sick and tired. Some of us are broke, busted, and disgusted, or broken, busted, and disgusted, looking for love in all of the wrong places. Lord, some of us, God, are at the end of our rope, and we're about to give up hope, Lord. So Lord, we need you to speak a word to us, a rhema word to us on today, and encourage our hearts, Lord, so that we can go on. We do. Yes, we do. Feel like going on, God. So we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise and say, have your way. Have your way. Let your will be done here in this Block Talk Radio segment, here on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Saints of God, people of God, and those of you who are seeking God on today, you have to know that God is good and worthy to be praised. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, honey. Pastor Anthony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you, Pastor Anthony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hello.
Yes, Pastor Anthony.
Yeah, you can hear me?
Yes, I can, dear, and you sound really good to me.
Amen, amen.
Amen, praise God. How's your day going?
Very good, actually. Very good day I'm having. Beautiful weather here in New Jersey. It's amazing how the weather of the seasons begin to change.
Yeah.
It's just so symbolic of sometimes seasons in our lives begin to change. But as we come from the summer into the fall season, the days are so crisp and cool. Some people have on jackets and some are still wearing shorts and short sleeve shirts. So it depends on, I guess, preference or choice, but it's a good time of year weather-wise.
Amen. Praise God. Well, I haven't been out yet on today. Got a few things done, quite a few things done here at the home office. And just praising God. You know, I'm praising God for another day in the land of the living here on this side, because I still feel like I have so much to do. I want to see Jesus. I do want to see Jesus, but I don't want to go until my work is complete here. So I'm praising God on this side of heaven today.
Amen. We do have a lot to be thankful for. You know, this country has been at war. We see even on our own streets sometimes there's a war going on. And it is just, like you said, His grace and mercy that keeps us going.
Hey.
The warm blood going through our veins.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful. Just grateful. You know, I woke up praising God today. I'm becoming more disciplined in my life. And I went to bed early. And Pastor Anthony, you could attest to the fact that I was in bed by midnight last night.
Amen. Amen.
And that was a milestone for me. I actually made myself discipline myself to go to bed because I know I cannot. I know that I cannot continue to stay up until 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning and be effective for the kingdom of God. You know, in most cases, I'm waking up later, about 9 o'clock, 9:30, and then I'm trying to force so much into the one day that now I'm against. Forced to stay up late again because I haven't gotten everything done that I needed to do, when if I would just go to bed at a decent hour, I would get the sleep that I need and be able to get up earlier and have more daylight hours, daytime hours, and early evening night hours to do what I need to do so that I'm not forced to stay up around the clock. So it feels good. It feels good to have gone to bed early. And Pastor Emily, you know, it's not just with me. It's not just about going to bed early. It's about discipline.
Yeah, I think, you know, we all get those wake-up calls in certain areas of our lives. And it's one of the things, like you said, we all have the same 24 hours in every day. And, you know, just as the clock ticks, if we go to bed earlier, normally we get up earlier.
Yeah.
Our bodies still pretty much operate on that 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes when you rise up and meditate and read your word, it can get into your office maybe an hour, hour and a half earlier. It is a benefit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know the rationale sometimes to why you stay up late. You know, you like the quiet, you like the peace, as far as children and family, even the busyness of people just being outside our house. You know, it's just so quiet during those late hours. But again, God is just dealing with you as far as your regimen, how just to adjust it and tweak it just a little bit so that you can be the most effective person for Him that you can be.
Amen. To be effective for the kingdom is my desire. To be effective for God's kingdom has to be the desire of every single Christian. And I was just thinking about that in Galatians 5, starting with verse 22. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. My God, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. And as I read that fruit of the Spirit, the last one is self-control or temperance, where we have to discipline. We have to live a disciplined life. And I believe that a lot of Christians have forgotten about self-control. I call that the forgotten fruit. Because I believe a lot of Christians are skating on this discipline area, on this self-control area, where we're really making believe and pretending that we can't help ourselves. And the truth of the matter is that that is a lie from the devil. It's a lie from the pit of hell, because we can. We really can help ourselves because we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives us the power to help ourselves, to exercise that self-control in the areas of sleep, getting enough sleep, in the areas of eating the right foods, in the areas of how we deal with each other in marriage or in our relationships in the church or with our children, how we deal with our children as parents. We have self-control in the area of forgiveness, in the area of kindness. And I just believe that we as leaders, Pastor Anthony, you and I and everybody out there, anyone out there who considers yourself to be a leader, and I pray that that's most of you, because everybody's a leader in some area of their lives. We as leaders have to be an example, and we have to show people what we mean when we preach the gospel. We have to show people what we mean when we say that we are Christians and what we mean when we say that we are disciples of Christ.
You're so on to something, Pastor Rebecca, when you use that word discipline and disciple. That's exactly what it means to create godly habits, godly doings, godly characteristics and things, traits in your life that may not have been there before you came to Christ.
Yes.
And with the power of the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of us, we really do have the power to overcome anything that the enemy tries to put in our lives at this point as a Christian. You know, we have to have the teachings on familiar spirits and strongholds and principalities, but Jesus has equipped all of us with everything that we need.
Yes.
So it's so unfortunate, as you said, you know, sometimes you see even a Christian going 30, 40, 20 years of being holy, being sovereign, being saved, and all of a sudden one error in judgment or one, you know, lax moment can cause one to sin and one to have a lifetime full of regrets. So as you just said, it takes that discipline on a daily basis. And this is how I live life, actually. Daily, I pray for God to take me through that 24 hours of that day. And I start out my day with the word and with prayer. And
yes.
He's a keeper if you want to be kept.
Yeah.
You know, again, it comes down to our personal desires in many cases. But one of the things is that we really have to, as you just said, take ownership of our own salvation. And say,
amen.
Lord, what am I supposed to do with all this power that's dwelling on the inside of me? Although temptation is going to come, although we've been forewarned, although we live in a society that tries to pull on our flesh often, we still have the ability to overcome everything that this world can put in our path.
Amen. Hallelujah. And that's why I read the Galatians 5:22 scripture. And it says that we no longer live according to the desires of our sinful nature. See, we're no longer, when we have the Spirit of God and when we receive the Spirit of God, we're no longer supposed to be controlled by the desires of our sinful nature. And I'm not talking about the person who is trying every day to please God, you know, because there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. But I'm talking today about the person who is faking the funk. Let me just say it like that. You know, I mean, there are some people out there who are in leadership, who are preaching this gospel, and they're just faking the funk. I just have to say it like that. They are faking. They are hypocrites. They're not real. They're not right. They have no intentions of being real or right. They're just in this for the wrong motives. Most of them are in this for the money, and they are making a mockery of Christianity. But the Bible says that God cannot be mocked, so God is not mocked. The Bible says that God is not mocked. Don't be deceived, you know, of when you're looking at the evildoers and you're looking at Christians falling by the wayside, especially preachers and evangelists and these great faith healers. You see them falling by the wayside. Don't be deceived into thinking that that's a Christian and you don't know how that happened and how they fell. Well, the thing you want to look at is that if you should know a tree by its fruit. So the first thing you want to say is that person was not saved. That person was not regenerated. That person needs to be saved and delivered from the desires of their old nature, of their sinful nature. And these are people that try to, on the surface, they're doing all of these great miracles and great wonders for God, but underneath the surface, they're hypocritical serpents. They're snakes in the grass. And God will reveal everything that's done in the dark will come to the light. And Pastor Emily, you know what I'm saying, why I'm saying what I'm saying.
I know exactly what you're saying, why you're saying it. And that's why, you know, to a degree, you're calling, especially the mature Christian, to not fall for these deceptive tactics of the enemy in our hour.
Yeah.
You know, the person who's a novice, the baby Christian, as Paul said, who's drinking the sincere milk of the word, have a more probable ability to be tossed to and fro. But as you said, sometimes we have these overnight wonders, and the mature believer is flocking like bees to honey sometimes, you know. And you got to wonder what's up with that. Because we have, you know, the spirit of discernment. We have the spirit of wisdom, spirit of knowledge, and just so much in our arsenal that no way we should be tricked at this point of the game into believing anything that the enemy tries to give us.
Right.
That is a counterfeit of what God wants to give us. You know, Pastor Rick, I was reading, you know, about Abraham, and God tried to show him, you know, through the sand and the dust and the stars, how he's going to bless him. And Abraham still went ahead of God and had Ishmael through his, you know, servant. And then, you know, the blessing of God's grace was still through Isaac.
Yes.
Who still loved Abraham enough to say, I'm going to give you another shot at this.
Right.
And
Amen.
Then he tested
Hallelujah.
Him once again. Oh, glory to his name. He tested him yet once again, you know, said, bring me your son, your only son, to see if Abraham got the lesson from his errant ways. You know, him and Sarah was old when they had Isaac, and he did the impossible, God, through their lives. And sometimes I believe that we have an offer from Satan to get the things we want out of life, but we have it in a more immediate fashion. Yet that thing come with such a cost although we will enjoy it in the short term, in the long term, that thing going to do more damage to us than we expected it would or could. So I'm going to, you said on this show a lot, I'm going to wait on God's blessing. Because I know he'll give you a lasting blessing that will not just bless you, but it's going to bless others.
Amen. Amen. And that's the thing that we have to remember. When you stay true to God and stay connected to God, God will stay true to his word, and he will bless you like he told you in his word that he was going to bless you. Just look in the book, looking through Deuteronomy chapter 28. There it is all spelled out, the blessings and the curses. And then look in John chapter 15. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my father is the husbandman or the gardener. And he will prune your life. There will be some things that God will take away from your life in order for other things to take the place of the stuff in your life that is not bearing fruit. So God will prune your life, and pruning is not pleasant. It is not good, but it's always good for you. It does not feel good, is what I meant to say, but it is always good for you. So allow yourself to be pruned of those things that are not bearing fruit in your life for the glory of God. See, we have to realize that God wants to get the glory in our lives, and I've been, my heart has been grieved. My heart has been grieved. I was on the internet yesterday listening to some blog talk radio programs, and I found out some stuff that I did not know. And before I go into this, I want to welcome Pastor Sherry Jones, my father's child, and Dana Neal to the chat room. God bless you all. It's good to see you. And to welcome everyone who's listening, this is Pastor Rebecca and Pastor Anthony, and we're talking real talk. We don't put any topic on the board. We just pray that you'll come, because every time that you come, you're going to be blessed. I don't want to lure you with fancy topics, because we want the Lord to speak when we're here, and we're always in the spirit when we're here, and God, more likely than not, will speak a word to you while you're here. So just keep coming, because you're going to be edified during these times that you spend with Pastor Anthony and myself. And we just want to say God bless you. But my heart was grieved when I heard, the first thing that I heard was about the pastor who killed his wife and put her body in the freezer. And her body had been in the freezer. This was not a pastor. This was an evangelist, a preacher. Killed his wife, put her body in the freezer. Her body had been in the freezer for 3 years. And while her body was in the freezer, he was molesting her and their children. Several of their children were being molested. And this was over in Alabama. And it's ironic because the pastor's name is Anthony Hopkins. I mean, the preacher's name is Anthony Hopkins. And I said to Pastor Anthony, isn't that the name of the star from the Lamb of, Silence of the Lambs, which I could not allow myself to watch? But, you know, and he said, that's a coincidence. But, you know, the thing that I'm saying is, isn't that a wolf in sheep's clothing? You know, here you have this man, and when the cops picked him up, he was actually preaching the gospel. And another thing I want to say before Pastor Anthony speaks on this is that there was another thing that I heard in the news. Pastor, not pastor, whatever he is, Todd Bentley. Todd Bentley, the great faith healer, who had been kicking people in the stomach, and I preached in one of my sermons about that's not God, you know, to kick someone in the stomach, to drop kick a pastor. A false prophet by the name of Todd Bentley left the ministry, left his ministry because he got caught in an adulterous affair with one of his staff members. And he actually left the church, and now he's filing for divorce from his wife. Now, I'm not saying this for gossip. Why am I saying this, Pastor Anthony?
I mean, it's just so vital that we as believers, you know, we use the word leader or leadership. I mean, the first word that should rush to our minds is character. It really should be. And sometimes some things are so obvious that people, God has given people a choice, actually.
Yeah.
And when it's so obvious, it's so blatant, it's so in your face, to me, that's when God is saying to us as individuals, this is it. This is life. This is death. Choose life.
Yes.
And he'll do that. I mean, sometimes we're deceived, but sometimes it's so obvious that God makes it plain and simple. And Pastor Rebecca, it's almost scary because that was said back in Deuteronomy, choose life or death.
Yes.
But it's still said today in 2008. God is saying choose life or choose death.
My God.
And that thing is speaking to each and every one of us on a daily basis. Sometimes we're still going to dead churches. We're still sitting in the leadership that we know. I mean, we know whether it's in the newspaper or whether we know in our hearts that that person is not right. Just something
right.
Ain't right. And we know that we're getting that uneasiness, yet we keep ignoring that feeling or that voice or that intuition. And God is saying, you know, you have to choose me. You have to choose me over your personal desires. You have to choose me over your position in the church. You have to choose me over everything that this world offers you, and then I will bless you.
My God.
But other than that, as the Bible says, you'll have your just reward.
My God. But
and
Pastor Anthony.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Pastor Anthony.
No, you know, sometimes, you know, we thrive and we go for goals and dreams and ambitious desires, and that's okay. God gives us sometimes a vision. He gives us a desire. He gives us a zeal to go after something.
Amen.
But it really has to be done on his terms. I don't believe God will deny us the desires of our heart, but he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He says that for a reason, and
that's
he'll give
right.
us the desires of our heart, but when we seek him first, our character won't be tainted, nor will we become desperate trying to get what he's already shown us that we're going to have.
That's good. That's
the
good.
Only reason I think someone would stay up under leadership that they know is not of God. That is the only reason people hook up with people saying, you know, I'm just keeping it real. I'm lining up with this one because they got a listenership or a following or you know, money or power or they have whatever I need, they have. What we need, God has, people of God.
My God. But, Pastor Anthony, the Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 3, and you just said this, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What we have, what we need, God has. It says, it goes on to say, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make, my God, your righteousness shine like the dawn. When we lean not onto our own understanding, my God, and consider the Lord, and all of our ways. God will give us everything that we need and a lot of the stuff that we want. I say when he says that he will give us the desires of our heart, that means that as we begin to fellowship with God, as we communicate with God, as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then we begin to develop the character of God and we begin to know the heart of God and we receive the heart of God. God says, I'll give you a new heart and I'll give you my spirit in the book of Ezekiel. He said, I'll give you a new heart and I'll give you my spirit and incline you to obey my commands. God will, he will prompt us in the direction that we will go and he will give us his heart. We will know, we'll have the heart of our Father, which means that his desires for us now become our desires. And what we want is godly. What we want is good. What we want is beneficial to us and not detrimental. See, we have to understand that any time that we desire something that is not beneficial to us, that is detrimental to our health or our well-being or our family relationships or the will of God for our lives, then what we have now begun to desire is what the devil wants for us. The devil, the thief, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we have to realize that we have to annihilate the devil's plan in our lives and embrace the Lord's plan in our lives. We have to annihilate, stomp out the devil's plan in our lives and embrace God's plan. And how do we do that? By the word of God. We do that by knowing the word, by loving the word, by embracing the word, by delighting ourselves in the word, because then we know who our Father really is. Our Father is not the devil, like Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Your Father is the devil. Oh, no, the devil is not my Father. He may have been a long time ago, but God is my Father. And we're talking about these false prophets, this evangelist who killed his wife, and this false prophet, Todd Bentley, now who has to be sat down, they said, for a season because he was caught up in something that he shouldn't have been caught up in. And the Bible, Pastor Anthony, says that even the very elect can be deceived.
Amen. I mean, we see it even all over our televisions now. You know, I believe that certain people should sit down for a season. It doesn't mean that God is going to get rid of them forever, because we have a forgiving God. We have a God of grace, a God of mercy. And he know man is prone to error. But we're talking about those times where God just want us to be self-sufficient upon him in the name of Jesus. God will allow us to be so backed into a corner that when we come out, nobody but God pulls us out of that situation.
That's right.
I believe that's where God wants us to be, you know. And he's even shown you and I that through our ministry, through our church. You know, as we stepped out and began to do the work of God, some people didn't think we would last 2 days. And here we are 2 years later plus and still believe in God. But guess what? Nobody but God did it. And nobody but God will continue to do it. So it's just an awesome testimony that God will put you into a place where nobody can do it but God. And that's when it says he wants the glory.
Trust in the Lord.
And he does want the glory. Trust in the Lord that he can get the glory out of our lives, out of our situations, that when we get to point A to point B, we can look back and say, nobody but God did it.
Wow. Wow. Trust in the Lord and not in man. See, the problem with these people is that they deceive many. You know, to preach for 3 years with your wife in the freezer, and I'm not going to let this go because I need you to hear God today. Dana Neal's hearing a repeat. You might have to reboot your system. If anybody else is hearing a repeat, go ahead and reboot your system. Refresh. I think it's F5. But, Pastor Anthony, I'm not letting this go because too many – we hate what God hates. And we love what God loves. God hates false prophets and these shepherds that are misleading his people. And God hates sin. He doesn't hate the person, but he hates the act. So what we have to realize is that don't be deceived. This is what I want to get this through loud and clear today. Don't be deceived. Don't line up with something that you know is not God. Pastor Emily said that God has given us a spirit of discernment. And to preach for 3 years with your wife in the freezer dead, that's wickedness, that's evil. You know, and can you imagine the people that set up under his ministry? You know, he didn't have his own church. He was a traveling preacher. But I would say that there had to be something missing in the preachers that let him just come in. If you're a preacher, if you're a pastor, you can't just let anybody come in and preach over your people. You have a responsibility to God and to the people to make sure that the men and women of God that you have preaching over their lives and speaking into their lives are right and of God, and then they're walking around with a whole bunch of nonsense. The same thing with Todd Bentley, and I'm saying his name loudly and clearly because you who have watched his ministry know, you know something wasn't right with that when he talked about kicking people in the stomach. Yes, God said many healings shall come through false prophets, but they won't be by his spirit. The devil is a deceiver, and he will use false prophets to deceive the very elect of God in these end times that we're living in. And what we're saying today, and I'm going to let it go, but what we're saying is be aware, be alert, get in your word, know the word of God for yourself. Don't forsake the assembling together of yourself. Don't leave church because you see stuff happening on TV and you see people falling. Those people, what I said to you earlier, I'm going to repeat it. I'm not stuttering. Those people never really knew God. You know, this past, this evangelist, this false prophet, they never really knew God. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, because if they knew God for real, they wouldn't even have tried God like that, because God cannot be mocked. And that's what I'm saying. They never were regenerated. Regeneration, that's a total transformation from the old to the new. That's you becoming a new creation in Christ. They didn't have that. So, but God wants you to have it. Don't let somebody else's failure prevent you from having, being, and doing all that God has ordained for you to have, be, and do. And, yes, I'm putting them out there as an example because they put themselves out there. So I'm not holding back, Pastor Anthony. I'm putting them out there because this stuff has grieved my spirit. And yes, I'm telling you, saved and unsaved, yes, there are false prophets out there. There are pastors out there who do not have God's best and the plan of God in mind. Like when Jesus told Peter, Satan, get behind me because you do not have the things of God in mind for me, but the things of man. That's what these people are. They're Satan personified. Satan is using them to be personified in the earth, and they did not have the plans of God, but the plans of man. They might have started out right, but they got tripped up, and they have fallen from grace. And just because that has happened in their lives, yes, you see it, and just say, there go I, but for the grace of God, and cleave to God. Cleave to Jesus. Draw near to God. Draw near to God, and Satan will have to flee. Because Satan can't live in the presence of Jesus, my God. He can't rule in the presence of Jesus. How do people fall? How do we fall? We get out of fellowship with God, and we get out of fellowship with other Christians. And that is not God's plan for you. It's not God's plan for me. It's not God's will that anyone should perish. And I just have to get it out, Pastor Emily. I just have to get it out.
I pray that the people hear your heart, and more than that, I pray they hear God today. Because
yes,
as you said, and I said it, you know, preaching on Sunday, that God said in the book of Matthew that this is just the beginning of birth pains.
Yes.
In other words, there's going to be some more stuff coming down the pike that we are not going to be ready for. As far as the day of the false prophet, we're here. We're living in it. So what you're saying is that beware of the false prophet.
Beware.
You know a tree by its fruit is right there in the book of Matthew, 6 and 7 chapter, the 5th chapter. And Jesus points it out plainly. So we have the signs, and as you said, there'll be signs and wonders, the sensationalism that fill up basketball arenas, it fills up football stadiums. And God is saying, you know, to the people of God, especially Christians, come on now. Just because there are thousands and tens of thousands and millions of dollars attached to it doesn't mean it's me. Doesn't mean it's me.
Mm.
And we look at that as the signs of God.
My God.
You know, because as you were talking about, you know, Todd Bentley, as far as the healings, you know, people have defended him tooth and nail. And I'm talking about those who thought they were innocent and saying, I've seen this particular healing. It's been documented. It's been this. But in the Bible, it is recorded that healings will take place through means other than God's Holy Spirit and
That's
his intervention.
Right.
So, yes, that may have been a healing, as you just said, but test the spirit by the spirit.
That's right.
We got to always test the spirit by the spirit. And what you're saying today is that don't become vulnerable. People that are praying today, don't become vulnerable. And we're not saying that there are perfect churches out here. We understand that a pastor can fall from grace. We understand that a person can err. We understand that the devil can deceive many, but we're talking about those situations that you and I know what they are. There's no guesswork, and that's the stuff we need to address.
That's right, Pastor M. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." That's what is. Don't be deceived by what you see out there and what's going on. God is not mocked. God sees it. And what's that psalm that says, "Fret not"?
Psalm 37.
"Fret not when it seems like evildoers are prevailing, because they're going to wither away like the grass." And we have to realize God's word is true. His word will not come back to him void. And we have to be alert. Look, don't sit up in church and you know that is not God's word being preached. I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but I'm going to talk to both sides. I'm going to talk to the congregant, and I'm going to talk to the preacher today. The congregant, the disciple of Christ, be a disciple. Get into your word. Read your Bible. Pray. Fast. Seek the face of God. Don't straddle the fence. Stop straddling the fence. You have been called to accountability today to be a true disciple. Be a witness. Jesus said you have received power to be his witness. Be a witness in word and in deed. Now I want to say to the preacher, to the pastor, the bishop, the apostle, the fivefold ministry gifts, be true to the call of God on your life. Don't compromise. The Bible says that the very elect will be deceived. I know your church might be empty on some Sundays. It may seem like nobody's calling you to come out and preach. It might seem like people are being elevated, and you know you're walking with God. You know you have more anointing in your pinky than they have in their whole body, because you know they're not living right. And God wants to say to you today that he sees you. Be not weary in well-doing. Stay true to the call on your life. Do not forsake righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. Do the right thing. Lead my people. He says, "I'm rising up shepherds after my own heart." And God is calling you into accountability today. My God, we have to know that we have a higher responsibility than the people that sit in front of us. Our responsibility is to God. And when I see people falling from grace, when I see what's been in the news over the last year and a half, when I see the church, when I see what's going on in the church, and when I hear non-believers, talking about the church the way that they talk about the church, it grieves my spirit. God's heart is breaking. And all of us, not just the pastor, not just the evangelist, the apostle, the bishop, not just the person, the disciple, not the deacon, not the mother, all of us, are being called into accountability, and if we really truly want the blessings of God, the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, we have to line up with the word and the will of God. Amen.
Amen.
And everything else will be added unto you. God's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent and change his mind about what he has said about you. And for those of us who are preachers, look, you want to preach, go to the prison and preach. Go to the street corner and preach. Stand on the street corner. I used to see them all of the time, downtown Newark, standing on the street corner. I thought they were crazy with their Bibles and a megahorn, preaching the gospel. There are many opportunities to preach. Get your Block Talk radio program and preach. There are many opportunities to preach. God bless you. God loves you. God has called you for his glory. God's using you mightily. I don't care if you only have 5 people in your church. Are you preaching the truth? And for you, a member, if you're sitting up in a mega church and you have no growth in your life and you still don't feel convicted by sin, if you're going home shacking up, I want to ask you, are you being challenged to cross that pulpit? Are you being challenged? Because you should be challenged to live holy.
Amen.
We didn't mean to go in this direction.
Glory to his name.
Where are we?
The
phone lines are open. 646-652-4832. Go ahead, Pastor.
It's so ironic that, you know, always thinking, and it's a scripture that got my attention early on as a Christian, the wages of sin is death, you know, but the gift of God is eternal life. And I used to see that thing as a new believer saying, oh, boy, as far as the sin, you know, as we look at sin. And sin, people think of it as such an enormous task to put down the sin that so easily beset us. It's an enormous task for us, but if you give that thing over to God wholeheartedly, trust me, it's easier than you think. You know, we say we have these urges, and I heard, you know, a brother say it recently. I hear some people testimony that, you know, they have this urge and they're in this backslidden stage and they just can't help themselves. Yeah, you can't, but God can.
My God.
You know, he can do anything but fail. When we really just hand things over to him, he'll really do signs and wonders. It's just an awesome place to be. And that's why you're saying, Pastor Rebecca, you got to know the word.
Yes.
You got to read the Bible. You have to pray for that word to be sealed upon your heart and in your spirit and in your soul. But you got to read the word. You got to meditate on the word. You got to know the word. You got to believe the word. You got to trust the word. Outside of the word, you're going to be just a whole bag of hot air blowing out smoke and not seeing any really transforming power.
Wow.
So that transforming power, Pastor Rebecca, we think about regenerated, you know, being transformed. That thing is day in and day out living.
Yes.
You know, we think of it as a one-shot deal or now I'm delivered. No, it is a daily occurrence of God's grace on our lives.
My God.
I didn't sleep around today. I didn't smoke a joint today.
My God.
I didn't have a drink today.
My God.
One day I did not say one curse word. Every day is a day for transformation.
My God. And that's a miracle right there. You know, my life is a miracle. Your life is a miracle, Pastor Emily. While you were speaking, I was just thinking about miracles. And I was saying, God, why does only the devil manifest miracles these days? Why aren't we seeing healings in our church? Why aren't we seeing signs and wonders in our church? And God said, you are seeing it. Every time that you see the fruit of a changed life in your church, you're seeing a miracle. My God. Speaking in tongues. Every time you see us, and I want to welcome Bishop Edgar Young and also Praise Creation and Reverend Praise Creation and Evangelist Luciano to the network. And I see we're having problems in the chat room. The devil is a liar, and I bind you up, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Because we had Dana Neal, she's been having problems listening, and I know she wants to be here. She dropped out of the chat room, and also my father's child. But they're probably still streaming, and they'll get back in. And I also want to welcome Tina Michelle. God bless you. But when we look for signs and wonders, see, this is how we're being deceived. Because the false prophet, like a Todd Bentley, comes in, and if you haven't heard the news, he was just caught in a relationship with one of his staff members that they're calling, it wasn't a right relationship, and he's filed for divorce from his wife. But so many people were thrilled with his ministry because he manifested signs and wonders, and we look for that. That's what we find ourselves. We're so hungry for God, and it's a good thing to be hungry for God. But people are so hungry for God that they find themselves going after the outward stuff, the magnificent, the grandeur, the lights, the cameras, the action. And they're thinking that just because people are falling out by the thousands, you know, people blow on you and you fall out, or you chuckle and everybody in the sanctuary starts laughing, or you're feeling these sensations in your body as you're in underneath this ministry, and you're believing that it's God because of the sensationalism of it. And we're looking for miracles, but God says this is your life, the fact that you didn't sin today, the fact that you didn't pick up that crack pipe again, the fact that you're no longer a whoremonger or an adulterer, the fact that you're living for me is a miracle. I mean, come on, look back over your life. The fact that some of us are preaching this gospel is a miracle. When we were ringleaders in the Satan's camp, when we were the ones who were leading people into more sin, more sin, more sin, now we're leading people away from Satan's camp. That's a miracle. That's a miracle, my God.
My God, you're talking now, Pastor, and it's amazing how we miss God at work, and he's doing such a mighty work. That's what you're saying. Just staying saved. Those of us who know we're sanctified, we know we're Holy Ghost filled, we know we're living for God, and it's just so awesome that you see the miracle of God working in and through your life.
My God,
it's amazing, Pastor Rebecca, that you're talking about this, because we sometimes don't see what God is doing. And you and I, even in our family, you know, being married 12 years and having careers of over 40 years in corporate America and blue-collar work, God will give you that keeping power. He'll secure you financially. He'll give you even generations to come that love on you and care about you. You know, we were in our bedroom last night watching The Future First Lady, and our children and our grandchildren came to give us hugs and kisses. And I said, Lord, that's the next generation right there. But they so love their parents, and they so love us in a way that even I didn't have as a child.
Yeah.
You know, what I see in my own personal life as a father, as a husband, I did not have. And that's what you're talking about, the miracles that are overlooked, that God is working so hard at getting to us. And yet, like you said, you know, we look for the big sensation of it all. It reminds me sometimes of the lady or young lady that goes to a football game that wants nothing to do with sports. But the camaraderie and the chemistry of that event, all of a sudden you're on your feet, you're clapping for the team that you want to win. Because it's something about being in the crowd. It's something about feeling that energy and enthusiasm. But we need to look for God for real, and his spirit that quickens us.
My God.
The sensation that we want, that quickening power. And you know there's no imitation for that. You know God when you feel God.
My God. Pastor, we have some calls, and I want to take these calls in our last 13 minutes. Bishop Eckerd Young wants to know if we would consider extending. I told him that you're on your lunch break at work. I don't know how much time you have, but let's take these calls while you think about that, Pastor, and you let me know. Evangelist Luciano, God bless you, man of God.
Amen. God bless you. I salute Pastor Anthony and Pastor Rebecca this day. God bless you, saints of God. All those are hearing around the world this program is blessed. And
praise God.
I'm in a way, I'm shocked with the story you're sharing, and at the same time, I was basically expecting a drama like that to happen.
Yes.
You know, and
yes.
It, like the Bible said, everything that's in darkness will come out to light. And
yes.
And God's protecting his people. That's why he permits things like that to happen, because let us know as believers that don't go after the signs and wonders. Go for the fruits.
My God.
That's the problem with us. You know, Jesus made it clear that is the unbeliever that seeks after signs and wonders. And if Jesus said that, I mean, within the body, there's a lot of people who are not believing. They have to see it. They have the Thomas syndrome, you know. They want
wow.
to before they believe it. And God says, you know, you're blessed because you do not see and yet believe. And we need to pray for the church that we could be a church of faith and not, you know, we don't need to see something to believe it. And
that's good.
And I thank God that you are sharing that with the people around the world.
Amen. That's a word right there. Have faith in God. Have faith in God, not in the signs and wonders, Evangelist. You said it. And we do have one more caller. Evangelist, stay with us. Amen. Bishop Eckerd Young, you're on the air. God bless you, sir.
Hello?
God bless you, Bishop Young. How are you?
That was me, Pastor Beck. I don't know if he can get through.
Okay. Can you believe my computer is trying to go down? I don't believe this. I'm going to, Evangelist, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
Amen. Stay there, because I'm going to pick Bishop Eckery Young on. Stay with us, Bishop Young. And that's just so true that when you're exposing the devil, Satan, we bind you up in the name of Jesus. When you're exposing the devil, of course, he's gonna come against this broadcast. But we're going to put Bishop Young on the air. Go ahead, Evangelist.
Yes, Bishop Young saying to unlock the mic.
Yes, tell him I have to get my switchback board back up, so tell him to stay with us. Don't leave us.
Okay. Yeah, but it's true. We need to, we need to be aware.
Amen, amen. Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's amazing, because let me tell you, as you have true anointing, you have false anointing. As you have true miracle, which I'm not saying that God does not do miracle, God doesn't do recreated miracle. He does, but there's always a counterfeit. Because remember, the Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And maybe in the beginning, you may be healed by a certain preacher, but the Bible said we have to test not the gifts, but the fruits.
Amen.
And a person living, I think as believers and more of us as leaders within the body of Christ, we need to let our light shine. People need to know who we are, that we don't need to hide, who we are, that they could see us and they could get God glory, because they are seeing people who are sold out for God, like you and Pastor Anthony. You know, you let your light shine. You let people know your business. There's time that we struggle, but at the end, God will give us the victory.
Amen. And Bishop Young, you're on the air. Welcome to Power in the Word, sir.
Amen. I do appreciate the Lord, and
Amen.
Thank you for allowing me to be on your show. And can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yes,
we can hear you.
All right, well, good. I just wanted to say this. I mean, I'm a word preacher, and I firmly believe it's line upon line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little, and one scripture does not void out the other. Now, of course, Jesus said in Mark 16:15, for us to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. But he said, these signs will follow them that believe. The signs are not to per se make anyone believe, but there is signs following the ministry, just like, again, it's in Matthew 24, where Jesus talked about false prophets and false Christ shall arise, showing great signs and wonders, that if it were possible, that it would fool the very elect. But this is the thing. The very elect have the Spirit of the living God, the real Holy Ghost, who is a discerner of spirits. Now, I know for a fact that these televangelists, they stage this stuff. This is no different than how Hollywood, just like a Hollywood show to them, even though they mention the name of Jesus, but yet though all this stuff you see, people falling out, been here. I mean, true, we know that the devil himself can disguise himself as an angel of light. So what is it if his ministers do the same thing?
Because
the thing to it is that with the believers, now this is what let people know that we are of God. Jesus told them in St. John 13 chapter, he said, new commandment I give you, that you, as I have loved you, so ought ye to love one another. And by this shall all men know that you're my disciple. Now you could look. The scriptures are so plain, no matter what you do, if it's not based and centered upon the love of God, we're supposed to be in you. Why? Because the Bible said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And I mean that real love, where you love without partiality. Remember, with whatever work Jesus did as far as healing, he had compassion on the people. I mean, my God. This is one of the things that I find to be lacking in today's so-called Christian churches, that real love, not only for each other, but a real love for God. For Jesus said that if you love me, you would keep my commandments. And it went on to say, my commandments are not grievous. And then when we look in St. John the 14th chapter, he said that if we keep his commandments, he said that he would send the Comforter, and that the Comforter would abode in us. He said, I would send you the Holy Ghost. I mean, I preached a message the real Holy Ghost, whom the world cannot receive. See, just the world can't receive this. This world church can't receive this real Holy Ghost because, one, it has to come back to the foundation. You must believe. Bible says, for a man come to God, he must what? First believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Yeah.
So the thing to it is all of this is based around a love for God and that second commandment, loving your neighbor as yourself. No matter what your signs are, there will be signs. I mean, hey, don't get me wrong. But remember, Jesus had plenty of signs. He said, if I had not done the works that no other man had done, amen. And remember, he asked them in St. John, he said, what good works do you stone me for? But they said, we're not stoning you for the good work, but we're stoning you because you blaspheme, because you're saying that you're the Son of God. So the thing to it is look, we're not to get hung up on signs, because as was stated, that even when Jesus was resurrected, he came in and speaking to Didymus, Thomas, hey, now that you've seen me and felt me, now you believe, but blessed is he that believe and have not seen. But it does not void out the fact. Remember when Peter and John was on their way up to the temple, and the reason why I'm going so fast is because you don't have a lot of time.
Amen.
Is that when Jesus was going up and Peter and John was going up to the temple, the man that had been crippled, amen, sitting there at the gate begging for alms. Remember that? He was begging for alms, and Peter and John said, look, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and pulled him up, and immediately his ankle bones received strength to hold him up. And then the people took note that a note of miracle had been done, and then Peter asked them, why did they look upon us as though we did this in our own name? But this was done by Jesus, the one who you guys crucified. I'm just paraphrasing this because, hey, we don't have a lot of time.
Mm.
But to let everybody know that the signs will follow the truth.
My God.
Amen. The signs will follow the truth.
My God. My God.
Jesus.
God
told me, he said, look, he said, I'm going to send Elijah the prophet, amen, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. What did Elijah do? He gathered all the people up to Mount Carmel and said, whatsoever God speak by fire, let him be God. Now, we know in the book of Revelation, the false prophet is going to be able to call down, send fire down from heaven in the sight of the political beast. But again, all of this stuff is staged. Remember, we have technology now. We have lasers. Amen. But when God sends this anointing back, this Elijah ministry, amen, back to the church, they're going to be a church doing the very works of Jesus Christ. It's not going to be like this stuff you see on television. It's, my God, God showed me a revival coming to where, my God, you go to the grocery store, just think you're going to shop, and the case will be presented right there, and revival going to break out right there in the grocery store.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Church has a glory period coming right now. The real people of God are suffering. God showed me that the church is laboring to bring forth Jesus in it right now. Amen. So, Pastor, I do appreciate you giving me these few moments. Like I said, I'm just going fast because I realize that you have just a short time left, and I just wanted to get out what
my
I had
God.
To say.
My God. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
I pray that the people caught it. I caught it. My God.
Pastor Rebecca, they caught it. The one thing that stood out when the man, the guy, he was all in the Word, but he said the true love of God.
The truth, and it only comes by the Holy Ghost. It only comes by the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
One thing about it is the love, he said, that we're to have is that same love you have for your family. You're supposed to have that same love for your enemy. So if you're sitting in church and you got a problem with a brother or sister and you can't even offer your gift except you first go be reconciled to your brother. We have people sitting right on the church bench, can't even stand one another. And yet they end up talking about we had a time. Yet God's not going over this.
Wow.
You might carry on. You might go through the motion, but God ain't in that. Oh, my God. Look, let me tell you this one more thing, and I'm out of here. But, Sister, I bless you all. But now, one of the things that when you get the real Holy Ghost, the first thing that the Holy Ghost is going to do is bring the church out of Catholicism.
Mm.
And a lot of people might not catch this. They might not know what that means. But one day, catch one of my shows, I'm going to preach it. One thing about Catholicism, what ties the whole church world to the Catholic Church is the traditions that they keep that came from the Catholic Church. See, the real Holy Ghost going to bring you out of those traditions. Remember, God, as Jesus told the woman at the well in the St. John, the 5th chapter, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
My God.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, God.
God bless you, sir.
And God bless you all.
God bless you, and thank you for sharing that word. The Lord moved today. I just sensed that the Lord moved. Amen. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, he's just so awesome. Like the man that God just said, there's a transitioning going on. You know, we can call it a revival, but it's all God, no matter
yes.
what title we put on it. And
yes.
it's just so awesome, as you said at the beginning of the show, we're all ministers in our own right.
Yes.
Let's put down the titles and know that we're all called to accountability
yes.
to really bring God's name glory.
My God.
No matter where you are in the kingdom, don't think you're insignificant.
And Bishop brought a word, and I know that I received it today, and I'm going to go back and listen to the archive. Bishop Young, put your URL in the chat room so that we can let people know where they can hear your broadcast here on Blog Talk Radio. And Pastor Anthony, I know you have to go back to work.
I do have to leave, yes.
Amen. But I'm just going to stay for a few more minutes, just to finish, just take any calls that might want to come in, because I did extend out of obedience to the prompting of the Lord that we needed to hear the word that the bishop spoke, and it was a word, so I don't, have a problem with staying a little longer, but I know you have to go. Do you have anything that you want to say before you leave?
No, praise God. I just pray that, we're sensitive to what God is doing. He'll protect those who serve him.
You know,
Psalms 91, there's so many examples in the Bible of God protecting those who love him. Even when we err in judgment, God is there to rescue us. But if
yes.
you have a sincere heart and pure motives, God will honor you and exalt you in due season if you continue to humble yourself. He'll exalt you.
Amen.
So we want to be exalted. We want to really do great exploits for God, and he'll allow that if we continue to humble ourselves on a daily basis. So
amen.
Godspeed to you all, and God bless, and baby, I love you.
I love you too, honey. And
so
I'll
long.
See you when you come in. Amen. Praise God.
God bless. Bye.
God bless. And again, that was Pastor Anthony, my wonderful, wonderful husband and my pastor. And he's a blessing. He is a blessing to me because he is a man of God and he is a man of integrity. And I'm just so blessed that God sent him into that bar in Newark to evangelize to me, to tell me the truth. And he walked in love, like Bishop Edgar Young was just saying. We need to know that we have to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, our minds, our soul, and our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And you can hear more of Bishop Edgar Young. Bishop Edgar Young. I love the word that the man of God came in obedience and brought the word, and I just love what the Lord said through him. It's blogtalkradio.com/Bishop Edgar Young. And you want to go over there and hear more of what God has to say through him. Because the Lord is just speaking. He's speaking, and we who have ears to hear have to hear what thus says the Lord. And like Bishop Young had that word in his heart, we have to deposit the word of God into our hearts. We have to hide that word into our hearts. And I see that he has a YouTube video also here, over here on his page. So go over there and check out Bishop Young. And also, my phone lines are still open. I did extend, and I'm here for another 26 minutes. So anybody who wants to call in, you can call in. I see that Evangelist is calling back in. Evangelist Luciana, I'm going to pick you up. And I also want to tell you about the man of God, Pastor Anthony. I just finished uploading his video from the sermon that he preached on Sunday, No Shame, and that's going to be on MySpace, also on this profile page, also on our website, nccmonline.com. org, nccmonline.org. Later on today, in about an hour, you'll be able to go and hear that word that was preached by Pastor Anthony. And we do this not for us, not for fame or fortune, but we have enough people out there preaching lies and preaching false doctrine that we need to have some preachers out here like Bishop Edgar Young and Pastor Anthony Simmons, Evangelist Jay Luciano, myself, Tina Michelle, all of us who are standing true and say, you know what, we're going to preach the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So that's why we put the videos out there, and that's why we're here on Blog Talk Radio, to counteract the counterfeit. We're here to counteract the counterfeit. Jesus came to destroy the kingdom of Satan, and we are finishing that work here on earth, because Jesus said at the cross, it is finished. Evangelist, you're back on the air. God bless you, man of God.
Amen. Praise God. I'm sorry my internet was like went off on me, but I'm here. Thank the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I see that that's happening because some of our listeners have dropped off, and I know that they're normally here to the end. So, But you know what? The devil doesn't want the truth to go forward, but he's already defeated. We give him no glory. God gets the glory. God
Amen.
Gets the glory. And I'm glad that you called back in.
Amen. And it's funny because today I have a program, and I'm talking about abiding in Christ. And, you know, in
and my God, my God.
To abide in Christ. Because the reason why a lot of people fall to the wayside because they didn't buy it on themselves and not on Christ, on their own beliefs, you know. And we need to follow God's belief, you know. And so I'll be talking about that, about, you know, what the benefit in abiding Christ. That knowing that when you abide in Christ, you are actually sitting in heavenly places in Christ.
My God.
And,
my God.
The sister was sharing with me that she had she found herself in the presence of God. I said that happens because you abide in Christ. When you least expect it, God will call you into His presence to share something with you, to minister to you. Possibly He may come down and minister to you personally, you know, or use somebody to minister to you, you know, because you're abiding. You have a language that you both understand each other. You have the same idea. You have everything. You guys are inseparable. You know, it's almost like, you know, twins. You know, whatever you do is because God did it first, and not like you're doing it. And that's what I'll be talking about tonight. You know,
Amen.
Abiding in Christ, and you know what it brings security, cleansing,
abiding in Christ, like John 15, abide in me. My God, that's a powerful word. Now, Evangelist Jay Luciano is on Faith on the Air right here at Blog Talk Radio. It's blogtalkradio.com/faithontheair.
Yes.
And he, again, another powerful, powerful instrument, but only because of the power within him that he allows to work through him. It's not I who work, but God who works through me. And that's what we have to allow God to just work through us. Amen. Amen. So tune in. What time is your broadcast, Evangelist?
It's at 5 o'clock Eastern Time, p.m.
5 o'clock Eastern Time, p.m. And we are normally going out for prayer, but when I can, I normally do catch it. Maybe I'll be able to hear the beginning before I go out. And we do have another caller. Evangelist, did you have anything else? I want you to make sure that you get a chance to say what the Lord has put on your heart.
Amen. I just want to let people know, and the bishop that spoke a few minutes ago, I want people to know that I'm not here to say that God does not do miracles or I do not believe in miracles. I do believe in miracles. But my faith is not in the miracles. It's faith in Christ. You know, even if God doesn't heal me, doesn't mean that God is not who He is, because my faith is not on what God is doing or what is what He already did, which He paid the price for my sins. I'm washed, forgiven, and I have a slate. You know, that I don't need to say, you know, woe is to me that, you know, I cannot come out of this mess. But I know without any doubt in my mind that I could go to God. And let me share something with you. Something just came to my mind. In the court system, which before you actually talk to a judge, you talk to a panel called, they call them, oh my God, I forgot the name of it.
Is that the arbitration? Not the.
No, it's they call them mediators.
The mediators, yes.
So before you actually go to the judge, you go to this mediator, and the mediator, his job or her job is to see if they could solve the problem before actually going to the judge.
My God.
And I see that in the realm of the spirit. Jesus is our mediator.
Amen.
And Jesus, you know, solved the problem. You know, thank God he just stands there and says, God, you know, I know that your justice and your holiness demands justice, and I know that you said your word that he has sinned shall surely die, and I know all that, but you know what? I'm standing in the gap for them.
My God.
I'm the mediator. I'm standing there, and when you look at them, don't look at them, look at me. Look what the blood I shed for them. And he becomes our mediator. As the art of the tabernacle in the desert, you know, he goes in the holy holies for us.
Yeah.
He stands in our behalf, and that's the beauty of it. I always say, if God never did any miracle, you know what? He's still God.
He's still God.
And that's the bottom, you know, because I don't want people thinking that I don't believe in miracles or you as a pastor. You guys don't believe in miracles. We all believe in miracles. We believe in the sign of wonders. We believe those things follow the believer. But you know what? What's more important than that is the salvation of our soul, you know, and our relationship with God. If God heals us, amen. If he don't, amen. You know why? What counts the most is, like the Bible says, it's better for me to go with one arm to heaven and to be completely whole and go to hell.
Amen. Amen. I believe in miracles, and I'm believing that I'm going to see some miracles, and I believe that my life is a miracle, and I agree with you totally, amen to God. God, as we abide in Christ, that his miracles can be made manifest through us. And I believe that just what you were saying, it struck a chord in Bishop Young, because he's calling back. He said, I want to talk about abiding, and he has a word, and you know what, I'm always ready for the word. When somebody tells me they have a word, and I know that they're in the word, and the word is in them, I want to hear that word. Bishop Young, you're back on the air. God bless you.
Amen. Bless you as well, woman of God. Amen. Well, you know, in that scripture in St. John, the 15th chapter, where Jesus was saying that he is the true vine, and we are the branches, amen, and that every branch that's in him, the Father purges it that it might bring forth much fruit. Amen. He said, abide in me and my words abide in you. And amen. For, you know, a lot of people desire to be closer to God, but they first got to realize that God is the word made flesh. So Jesus is God in the flesh. See, what happened is back during the day of Moses that the priest went behind a veil to intercede for the people of God, and they sprinkled the blood of the sacrifice on the altar and on everything that was there, as well as the people. But all of those things was alluding to the coming of Jesus Christ, for those were a shadow of the things that were to come. Now, what happened is just like the other pastor had brought out about the mediator, we read in 1 John, it tells us that Jesus is our advocate. He is our lawyer. So when we get up, when we sin, Bible said that, my little children, these things I write that you sin not, but if any man sins, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. That when we sin, that because we do have the Holy Ghost, you see, God is like this. This process of being born again is just like when a woman brings forth a natural baby, that from day one, that the Bible tells us, as newborn babes, to desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. Because why? Meat is for the aged. Meat is for them that are strong. Okay, but when we've been in this thing for a while, God does not want us to stay babes, but he wants us to grow. Why? That's why he gave the fivefold ministry, the prophets, the evangelists, the apostles. Why? For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God till we all come to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. Amen. That's
Amen.
Why we read in the book of Galatians 4 that how we are under governors and tutors of per se up until we become of age. Then as the Jewish custom that then a child would be able to say, Abba, Father, that means, Father, that I'm ready to receive my inheritance. Amen. We're not to stay dazed, but God wants us to go. That's why it says in Hebrews 6 and 1, therefore leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, we know the principle is the beginning of a thing. Amen. That let us go on to perfection, even to the very raising of the dead. Amen. See, this is where the church is so completely off, because God said that the church need to be reformed back to holiness. See, you can't profess holiness and live an unholy life. Amen. See, this is what's wrong with the church today. They've gotten into the thing of the blessing plan and want to be blessed. Just believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But you know, once you believe, Paul said, faith without works is dead, being alone. That by, he said, now you show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. For faith coupled with works is made perfect. In other words, by your action, for the Bible said, not the hearers of the word, but the doers going to be saved. And then what people don't understand is, just like it's written, that even the devil believes that he fears and trembles, and nevertheless the foundation of God standing sure, having this seal, that the Lord knows them that are his. And he said, let everyone that name the name of Jesus Christ depart from iniquity. See, this is where the difference is that God wants us not to stay babes. Just like a natural child, if a child is 6 years old, 7 years old, still messing in his britches, well, hey, we got a problem here. We try to find out, why is this child doing that? Now, it might be, there might be some retardation, amen, but then therefore we have to deal with that on that level. But not every child born is retarded. Amen. So in other words, there are children that might have special needs. So we deal with the people of God according to their needs. See, the church is supposed to be a hospital. Remember, Jesus said, they that are sick is the one that need the physician, not they that are whole. He said, I came to call sinners to repentance. Amen. That when a sinner truly repent, that don't mean that you repent today and back in it tomorrow, talking about you repent later on that evening at 6 o'clock. But when you really repent of something, as John said, bring forth fruit and meat for repentance. That means that your actions are going to change concerning this thing once you find out that it's wrong. And what happened is this. What most people don't realize is you can't live the life of Jesus Christ. You have to surrender your life to Christ and let him live the life in you. Amen. That's why he told the people that Nicodemus who came to him by night, he said, Rabbi, I know that thou art a man from God. Now, why? Because he was doing the miracle. He said, can no man do the things that thou doest except that God be with him? Amen. See, so therefore, the signs are necessary, but God didn't want it just to rest on the sign, but he wanted the people to believe that he was and that he was truly a reward of them that diligently seek him. Now, I'm going to say this, because the concerning about the sitting down in the heavenly places, in the spiritual realm, amen. But I want you to know that we are here on earth with a connection to God in heaven through Jesus Christ, amen. That whatsoever we ask him, remember Jesus said in St. John the 15th chapter, he said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done, that it may glorify the Father, amen, through Jesus Christ, amen. So the whole thing is that God wants to give us the kingdom. Remember the scripture says, from the days of John the Baptist to now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and the violent has took it by force. Well, I want you to know that the people of God, we're going to take the kingdom back by force. That God had told me, he said, I'm getting ready to empower the people of God with such an anointing that it's going to cause the harvest to be reaped in these last
Hallelujah.
And evil days. Right now, the harvest not being reaped. Right
Hallelujah.
Now, that they're going land and sea to make one proselyte. Once they get him converted, they make him twofold more child of hell than when he started out. But God is going to send an anointing upon them that have prepared themselves and made their vessels ready. Amen. He said that he's going to pour out the latter rain, outpour the Holy Ghost, that's going to bring the crop steps to maturity. Now, that's what we need in this hour. We need some mature Christians. I mean, not, oh, my God, not this, not, well, not these modern-day Christians. The word Christian came from a mockery which they mocked them down in Antioch. Because why? They were doing the very works of Jesus Christ. They prayed like Jesus. They acted like Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was in them. And that same Jesus that was in them is going to be in a people today. That's what God is raising up an army. I want the people of God to hear what I'm saying. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. That God is raising up an army of people that's going to be a word, people. They're going to come back to the word of God. But you see, the people of God have strayed away and got all tangled up in tradition and making the words of God of non-effect by their tradition. And God's going to bring the people of God back to the word of God, and they're going to keep the word. And Jesus said, just like a woman when she's at her time, if she's laboring, and my God, she's having sorrow because she's getting ready to bring forth a child. But he said, when the man child comes, he said, that woman's not going to remember the sorrow, but she's going to have joy. And my God, that joy the world won't be able to take from you. Why? Because the man child has been birthed in you. Jesus said in St. John the 16th chapter, believe about the last verse, he said, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And I'm going to tell you what, even in the book of Revelation, he said, my God, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Want you to know that if you didn't have to go through something, you would not have to overcome it. Hallelujah. You see,
hallelujah.
Only the overcomers, oh, hallelujah, bless his holy name. Yeah. They're the ones that's going to be written in the Lamb book of life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I mean, my God, the Bible said, my God, I mean, this modern church world's so messed up. God, people think, oh, we're going to be raptured away before the tribulation, but we already in the tribulation. We're in the beginning of the tribulation. We're in the beginning of sorrows. Hallelujah. The seals are loosed, and my God, the trumpets are sounding in the distance. And I want you to know that even as is written in Revelations, the sixth chapter concerning the souls that were under the altar crying out, how long, O Lord, doest thou not avenge our blood? Amen. But God said, be patient just for a little while longer, for you have some brethren, amen, that must be killed just like you were. Right now they're killing Christians in other countries. And do you think God's going to let these Christians in America escape? Oh, no. I want you to know that it's going to be persecution on Christians worldwide. But when this time comes, the Bible tell me in the book of Daniel, the 11th chapter, that they that do know that God's going to be strong and they're going to do exploits. You see, God is going to empower his people with a supernatural power. My God, to survive in these last and evil days. Them that's been appointed to death is going to die. Them that's been appointed to the prison going to prison. But there's some that's going to be standing when they see Jesus breaking the clouds. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. My God, my God. I feel the whole hallelujah. I feel the real Holy Ghost burning in my soul. Hallelujah. My God, my God. We're living in a glorious time. It might, my God, so many people going through right now. I want you to know God don't want you sick. That same blood that saved you, that same blood that healed you. Jesus said that with his stripes, you're healed. What's wrong is we need people preaching. My God, if there be any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. My God. And somebody said, well, Paul didn't get healed. My God, if you only understood what Paul was saying, unless that he might be exalted above measure, there was given him a thorn in the flesh. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. I want you to know, if God don't want his, Jesus was never sick. My God, my God. And when you were quick, oh, hallelujah, sickness came because of sin. If you break the word disease down, it says diseased. It says diseased. It said deceased. The beast is deceased. Why? Because we sinned. Therefore, death. Oh, my God. The wages of sin, Romans 6:22 said, the wages of sin is death. And my God, oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
But you remember, God said it's not his wish that any should perish.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, a lot of people went to the grave not realizing and holding God to his word, that God, that your word said, healing is the children's bread. Listen to me today. He said, healing is the children's bread.
Hallelujah.
That Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus, and my God,
thank
the disciples
you
would come out here, push her back, tell her to get away. But my God, the woman yet came to Jesus, and my God, and asked her a petition. And my God, Jesus said, look, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Amen, amen. But yet, though, the woman said, my God, Lord, she said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. My God, Jesus
my God.
Turned to her, minded the disciples, and said, look at her faith. I'm only paraphrasing this. He said, look at her faith. I've not found so great a faith, not in all Israel. And my God, Jesus healed that woman's daughter.
God.
Amen.
Hey.
Because the
Amen.
Healing is the
Lord.
Children's bread. My God, what's wrong is that it takes a price. Oh, hallelujah. It
hallelujah.
Takes a price to get this type of ministry. It takes a price to get into God like this. It's going to take fasting. It's going to take pushing back your plate, crucifying your flesh. That's what most people don't want to do, but they want to eat themselves into oblivion, and they forget the kingdom of God is not in meat, not in drink, but it's in power. The word of God is in power. My God, the kingdom of God has come in power.
My God.
Thank you, Jesus.
I receive the word, my God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God
don't want you sick.
Hallelujah.
God wants you to believe for your miracle.
Hallelujah.
You need a miracle. Believe God for it. Stand on God's word. Be like my God, the three Hebrew boys. I know that he's able, but whether he do or not, I'm not going to give in to the devil. I'm not going to let the devil make me think I got to take this to hell. But my God, I'm going to be healed. My God, somebody, I respect that Jesus said, look, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. You're right. If you can't quit sinning with your members, you cut that member off.
Yes.
The
Hallelujah.
Thing to it is, God don't want you really to be maimed. He wants you to stop sinning.
Mm.
He wants you to stop. You don't have to sin when you're born again. My God, you better read. First John chapter 3, where it said that, my God, whosoever committed sin, haven't even seen God, don't even know him. But whosoever sin transgresses also the law. He said, but whosoever born of God do not commit sin, because God's seed remaineth in him, and that he cannot sin. Now, if there's a lot of people been conceived, but they ain't been birthed yet. They ain't been brought through yet. Because when you're really born of God, you can't commit sin. Why? Because God's word is in you.
Yes, 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 yes.
And
yes.
You're going to shun sin. You're going to be like Job. You're going to shun the very appearance of evil.
Mm.
You're going to cleave to that's good. And you're going to shun evil. And when you really get God in you, you don't have a problem in loving. You automatically going to love people. Why? Because Jesus loved God so loved the world that he gave sent Jesus to die upon that cross.
That's the word.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. What's wrong
hallelujah.
With today's church world is people trying to build themselves a kingdom, and the little congregations are the subject instead of trying to build the kingdom of God. We have so much ism and schism in the body of Christ. If Christ told the disciples, he said, look, every house divided against itself cannot stand. Every kingdom or nation divided against itself is brought to desolation. The devil has succeeded in dividing the Christian church because men have decided that they want to sit as king. They want to be just like the devil, who said, I'm going to exalt my throne above God. They might not say it, but their actions depict that. Your actions speak louder than your words. God's people under bondage. And this is why God's going to raise up Elijah. And Elijah's people is going to go tell Pharaoh to let God's people go.
My God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't get a lot of people on my show because I tell it like it is.
Yeah.
Because, hey, nowadays God told me that people don't want truth. They want to be entertained. They want to be tough liar too. My God, when you read in your word, you don't see God talk to Moses and the rest of the prophets every day. My God. It was... Oh, hallelujah.
It's the truth.
Man, people
and
got so tied up in dreams. God said that people deceiving people through their dream. Said instead of prophesying the word of God, he said, son of man, if I had called these preachers, said, who stood in my counsel? Who have perceived and heard and marked my word? That if they had stood in my counsel, then they'd have turned my people from their sins. But no, they killed the righteous and caused the wicked to live. And that ain't God.
My God. Bishop, you have blessed this broadcast. I'm blessed. I know everybody here is blessed, and everybody that's going to listen is going to be blessed because the truth sets us free, and we need the truth, and that's the truth. We need to preach holiness. We need to stop preaching nonsense. I mean, the whole Bible, holiness, healing.
That's right.
Salvation.
Line upon line, precept on precept.
Hey, and you have
done. Here a little, there a little, and not one voice out the other.
My
you
God,
put it all together.
Put it
you
all
get the
together.
Complete thing.
I love
thank
it.
You, Jesus.
I love
thank
that.
You,
and
Jesus.
I'm going to
thank
fast
you, woman
and pray
God.
For that anointing. I'm
thank
I'm
you,
fasting
Jesus.
And praying because, like you said, it comes with a price. The fast
Lord,
and pray
you,
starts to, it comes with a price to have that kind of power.
Yes, it does.
And
yes,
that
it does.
Much
yes,
sacrifice.
That's right.
My
you
God.
Have to sacrifice.
My
you
God.
Have to look. You have to beat your body daily
my
to bring
God.
It under subjection to the Word of God.
I
just want to leave this to encourage all of God's children. It has not only been given us to believe on Jesus, but to also to suffer for his name's sake. So remember, if you're suffering now, don't worry about it, because remember in the book of Revelation, the 7th chapter, where the angel asked John, who are these and whence came they? And John told the angel, thou knowest. And the angel replied, these are they that came out of great tribulation. Let me tell you something. You can't come out of something that you were not in. I want you to know, hey, just continue whatever the suffering is. Tell God, hey, if I have to suffer, I will suffer. But one thing about it, Lord, I don't believe that I have to be sick, because your word told me I did not have to stand on God and hold him to his word. One thing about it, he said, let every man be alive, but God be true. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you, everyone. Go with this word. Run with this word. Amen. I am the Lord that healeth thee, says the Lord. And he has definitely healed me. I received that word today, amen, as I have gotten a bad report, but I didn't receive it, and I shall not receive it. I declare that I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. So go in peace. Serve the Lord. We'll be back on Thursday for Woman to Woman, and we have a special guest co-host on Thursday, along with myself and Tina Michelle. Remember to make the most out of every single opportunity. God bless you, Bishop. God bless you, Evangelist. And everyone who was here with us today, God bless you. And remember, my brother, remember my sister, that God loves you, and so do we, here at Power in the Word. Peace.